listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
OBM, Ohio Business Machines, and Sharp Copiers, when it comes to Browns fans, their loyalty for our team is unconditional. So is the loyalty that OBM provides its customers with OBM's exclusive no-risk guarantee and seven-year security blanket, teamed with OBM's designation as the only Sharp Platinum level service provider in town. So OBM can tackle any of your copier problems, and you'll never scramble to keep your office running. Now the preferred document services provider of the Cleveland Browns, visit OhioBusinessMachines.com today or call 216-485-2000. We continue with our fearless, I don't know how fearless this is, but our OTA awards, the first annual edition here on CBD.
Yes, we do, and we're going to start now with our defensive MVPs, three of them counting from number three to number one. Here we go.
Number three.
All right, I'll lead off on the defensive side of the ball since you peg me as more of a defensive-minded guy. Not really, but I do love the good defense, and the defense has been dominating. You can make the case basically for pretty much everybody on the defense to fit into either the MVP or the surprise standout award. So it might be a little bit more interesting for us to see if we go the same routes here. But my number three defensive MVP, even though he's missed a couple of days recently, was a guy who really stood out, and maybe I'm biased because he is a friend of the show, but it is Billy Wynn, who I think has been an absolute standout and has somebody who has shown that he can start and thrive, I believe, in this defense.
Yeah, I think Billy Wynn, I'm going to go along with you on that as well, but in a different order here with my MVP. My third is going to be Buster Skrine. I think he's done a very credible job at cornerback, has come on strong, knowing that competition is there from Justin Gilbert, knowing that and Pierre Desir also, that he's in for a fight to keep himself viable on this roster. And I think he's done a pretty exceptional job, practice in and practice out.
Buster Skrine has looked good, and no question about it. He has looked very good thus far in this camp on the defensive side of the ball. So Billy Wynn for me. At number three for you, Buster Skrine. Number two.
Number two.
My number two in terms of defensive MVPs has been Jabal Sheard. I think this is a guy who could have 10 to 16 sacks in this defense, maybe even more. Jabal Sheard looks so good. He's disrupting plays, blowing up plays on a regular basis, absolutely controlling his side of the field when he's lined up at the outside linebacker spot. Been phenomenal. I'm expecting a humongous season from Jabal Sheard. He's my number two MVP.
Well, I'm going to go in the number two slot with Dante Whitner. I think Dante has set the tone that this defense wants him to set in terms of the hard-hitting presence that he is. Now, again, no contact in these workouts, but definitely you can see, and players know, plays where the hit could be made, and he's in position to do so, where turnovers are made, and he's done that as well. I think he's been an effective guy around the football. He definitely is leading the way as a leader, I think, in many ways, of the secondary. And you have Joe Hayden there, and he's in a natural role as someone that players already know on this team, established. He gets that big contract. But Dante Whitner coming in, I think, with that immediate presence in the secondary to be both a forceful, and I'm not even talking a rah-rah guy, but he knows what to say and when to say it.
Number one.
And it really was so hard even to pick three just for this defense. And I think Buster Skrine certainly could have made the list. Dante Whitner could have made my list. Got consideration. Number one, I'm going with an obvious one here, and that's Joe Hayden. Joe Hayden signing the big contract, taking more of a vocal leadership role on the field. He's been fantastic in his own right, making plays all over the place. Had a pick six two practices ago off the hand of Johnny Manziel. He's been great. This defense has been great. It was hard for me to pick three, and it was hard for me to only pick five surprise standouts. They're literally double-figure guys in contention for both categories in my mind.
My number one guy has been and is your number three guy, Billy Winn. I just think
Billy.
I think just think from the very beginning, not just because he's a friend of show, that it doesn't hurt him. But no, I think he's just been so active and so involved, and you know that's been the book on Billy from day one. But he just seems even more so connected with this defense. It just seems such a good fit for him. And I like what he's done. I like the way he is around the football. I like the disruptive force that I think he can be. And you can just picture it. You can envision it happening when these games are played for real.
No question. And listen, I think Tayshawn Gibson was in MVP consideration for me. Buster Skrin, as you said, a lot of guys, I think, playing fantastic football for this team, and it was really tough to even come close to narrowing it down.
A harder choice on the defensive side,
significantly,
for sure.
And as it shows in the differences in our answers. All right, let's move on now to our five defensive surprise standouts. We'll start at number five.
Number five.
I copped out right here, and I'm going to throw a four-bagger at you at number five. Guys that are all competent, very good players, but who have stood out to me for their excellent play. Paul Kruger, Barkevious Mingo, Buster Skrin, and Tayshawn Gibson. Cop-out answer. If I had to pick one, I would have said Paul Kruger because he looks rejuvenated, and he's gotten a sack or two in the 11-on-11s or so. It's appeared without pads on pretty much every single day.
Yeah, see, I can't let myself go with guys who are paid many millions of dollars to be good and call them surprises. The surprise is if they don't play well. So I go with Josh Aubrey as my fifth.
Okay.
I got Leon McFadden as my fourth.
Hey, what are you rushing? We don't need a rush here.
Oh, I thought we were. Oh, you put them all in. I'm sorry.
That was all number five. That was my number five.
I'm sorry. I thought you were listing your five.
No, that was my number five. It was a total cop-out
answer. Sorry,
I
jumped ahead. All right, spoiler alert.
All right. So we'll go to number four. My number four is Calvin Parnett, number 91, undrafted free agent, defensive tackle from Oklahoma State. Love him. I think he's a guy who has been constantly disruptive on the defensive line. Kind of looks like a mini Ataba Rubin out there making plays. Could be a very good 3-4 defensive end.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not a bad one.
Number three.
So number three on my list, are we off on the numbers here?
No. You did McFadden was your four, so now we're up to number three. You want me to go first
three.
Again?
I'm sorry, I jumped the gun.
That's okay.
I thought I never gave Josh Aubrey as my five.
You did. You gave Josh Aubrey.
All right, so I'm good.
Yeah.
So McFadden's four. We're up to three. We're rushing this thing along because we've got a clock to beat here, too, the two-minute drill. Jordan Poyer is going to get my number three nod here. Like the work he's done, the versatility he shows as both the safety, a guy who could also be a slot corner, looks to be very dialed in this defense and taking the instruction as much as anybody. I see him being talking a lot with the coaching staff, whether it's Jim O'Neill, whether it's the DB's coach, getting his guidance, but he seems to apply it, not because he's making a lot of mistakes, but I think he's a very conscientious player.
He's good, and he will appear on my list, but not at number three. Number three for me is T.J. Heath, 6-foot corner off of our practice squad last year from Jacksonville State. He is making plays on a daily basis. Had two picks today, looking great, tough man-to-man corner. He has been a huge surprise standout to me. T.J. Heath, this cornerback position, there is going to be a lot of competition for these roster spots.
Number two.
All right, number two on the defensive surprise list for me. He was on our show in the first hour, Darius Eubanks. He has been, I think, impressive on a day-to-day basis, really excelling in coverage, making the most of his physical traits athletically, long arms, long body, able to get in the way and disrupt passes and I think give a very bad picture for the quarterbacks. I think a lot of reasons that you see Johnny Manziel and even Brian Hoyer often move out in rollouts is because that big guy is blocking the lanes, and I think he'd be a nice compliment. I don't know that he's in there as a starter, and by any means he isn't, but I think he's a guy who could be filling in a pinch, and especially a guy that the way he runs down on special teams should be able to make an impact there, and that's really going to be the most important role. If he plays a role of significance for the Browns this year, it's going to be that.
And my number two was also, before we get to number one, my number two also Darius Eubanks. I think he could end up playing in some nickel situations as that second inside backer. I think that's going to be an interesting battle ultimately between he Chris Kirksey, and, of course, Craig Robertson. But I think Darius Eubanks is a guy that is part of that new era NFL where you have some bigger safeties coming down and playing linebacker and nickel situations. And he's bulked up a little bit. He's playing very well against the run. He's been great. And I think all of a sudden inside linebacker is becoming a position of strength for this team. And number one brings us to our number one standout. My guy was already on your list, Jordan Poyer. Safety, he can play nickel corner for you. Former cornerback, converted to safety last year, thriving in that role. He has interceptions at least in three of the last four practices. He is instinctual. He's a great cover guy. He can match up on tight ends. He can match up on slot receivers and then man the middle of the field. He's had a lot of interceptions and has been an impact player, a guy who's getting more and more reps, I think, with the ones when different people are out or they're trying him in other places. He has been phenomenal, and I wouldn't be surprised to see him play a solid role this season behind Whitner and Gibson and maybe spend some time even at slot corner against bigger receivers.
My number one surprise is Isaiah Trufant. Little guy. Littlest guy on the team. But showing incredible heart out there and ball awareness and aggressiveness. He gets into the bodies, those bigger bodies that he has to cover, because they're all bigger than he is. But I like the way he plays. I know the coaching staff has been extremely impressed with Isaiah's effort and presence. And again, this is another guy like Eubanks who I think his impact will have to come on special teams. That was the main reason he was out there. But when he's had opportunities in coverage, he's been very, very impressive for the little guy that he is.
Yeah, he has been impressive and certainly was a consideration for my surprise standout list as well. Been very impressed with the way he has conducted himself in these camps. And when you watch his ability to mirror wide receivers, you almost think to yourself, man, if this guy was three or four inches taller, this guy could be a perennial Pro Bowler with his instincts and his coverage skills.
No question.
All right.
Defensive sleeper time.
Yep.
Who's your sleeper?
My sleeper for people to keep an eye on in training camp is number 42, cornerback Robert Nelson. He's a slot corner from Arizona State, led the Sun Devils in interceptions last year with six. He has shown very, very well early on here in the OTAs and someone to keep an eye on for this unbelievably talented, all of a sudden, defensive back group.
And I think this guy was on your defensive surprise list, Calvin Barnett, the defensive lineman,
yep.
Who has looked impressive and has really caught the attention of rookie free agent that this team brought in. Keep an eye out on him, number 91, in these workouts. He catches your eye, and we found ourselves looking at the roster when he first got out there in OTAs. And I think this is just one of those guys that maybe could emerge and lend some depth at an exceptionally deep position, the defensive line. It'll be a tough place to crack a lineup, but at the very least, he may be putting out some very good tape of himself for elsewhere if the Browns are unable to keep him. And, I think the good problem for the Browns, if this defensive depth is what we think it is, Nathan, is going to be saying goodbye to certain guys who and I know and they know are going to end up on other rosters and probably produce.
Yeah, that's the thing. This team is so deep that there are going to be some very, very good football players that will end up being cut in the offseason or later in the training camp session because there's a finite number of roster spots. I think one of the interesting things that we're going to watch is how does Mike Pettine assemble that 53-man roster? How did Mike Pettine and Ray Farmer decide to allocate the resources to various positions on that 53? Because you're going to have a lot of corners you're going to want to keep. You're going to have a lot of linebackers you're going to want to keep. A lot of defensive linemen you are going to want to keep. And then on the other side, you're going to have a lot of receivers you're going to want to keep. And, of course, some tight ends you're going to want to keep and running backs. So it's going to be interesting, and that's a good thing. I think it speaks to the overall enhancement of the talent on this roster.
Yeah, it really is. It does two things. Obviously, first and foremost, helps the defense, gives the defense the opportunity to have people it can lean on at different levels and layers. You want this is where you need the freshest bodies. This is where you need the people who are giving you more energy and a higher level of competing late in the game. This was something this team sorely lacked last year. It was a personnel issue. You could call it a coaching issue. You can call it a this and a that. It was a personnel issue. There weren't enough good football players to help carry this team through. And I think they've gotten better not only at some starting positions, but in the deeper spots. That's one thing. And the other thing is what it's doing for the offense. On a daily basis, if it's that tough to succeed and when you're trying to execute plays offensively against that defense, I think it makes you that much better. We talked about this with Anthony Armstrong the other day. On a day-to-day basis, when the defense is winning most of the battles, you come back more determined to try to outperform them and then eventually outperform your opponent. And you hope, as a team, that the hardest challenges for your offensive side or your defensive side, depending on which side of the ball is excelling, is going to be in practice so that when they get into a game, it's easy, theoretically.
In theory, yes, it is. But you could tell they took some exception to a little bit of the trash talk today and stepped up and fired up, and that was certainly good to see from the offensive side of the ball. But this defense, and you know, I mentioned Paul Kruger because he's been so good. Barkevious Mingo has been so good. Tayshawn Gibson has been so good. This really, the entire defense has been great, and we're talking about how good the defensive line has looked. Phil Taylor has been great. That's a guy that we didn't make our final awards, but certainly could have in the middle of the defense. Ishmaili Kitchen has been playing well. What I like about this defense so much is that even without Cam Henderson, number 79, we asked about him, John Hughes. I mean, this defense is playing fantastic football, and we really haven't seen any of Desmond Bryant or Ataba Rubin.
Yeah, and again, I want to stress, if we have to, making these judgments in OTAs,
it's
what
very
they are,
tough.
It's not an easy thing to do. You're projecting a lot of stuff. No contact involved. It is June, and you're seeing things that, yeah, can look great out here. Put him on a field against another team or put him in pads in training camp, and all of a sudden those All Berea guys disappear. It happens every year in every football team, but we're giving you what we see.
Based on what we can talk about, judging it
within the context of what is going on in these workouts. And by no means am I touting this as, yep, they got already a top five defense here. I'm not going to say that until I see more of it. I see the potential for it. I see the talent looking pretty darn good, but we've got to see a lot more.
We do. And right. Another guy that neither one of us mentioned, but I think has actually been playing very well also, is Armani Bryant, the seventh rounder from last
year.
He's
had some really nice flashes. Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, this defense has been... But you see what you're doing here and I'm doing too? You can find those names on the defensive side. With the offensive side, we're not coming back and saying, and how about this guy we could add in? And maybe that guy. But anyway, one last comment real quick, go ahead. Take your time. Jason said we got another 10 minutes.
Yeah, he's like, get off the air right now.
Jason's quarterback, like, don't
read into the fact that the quarterbacks didn't make our list. I don't want people, because people are like, you guys are killing the quarterback.
I don't care if they read into it. Let them read into it. It's controversial.
But Brian Hoyer, I think, as I've said many times, looks like that right now is still ahead of Johnny Manziel. He's steady. He's the starter. Yeah. Hasn't been a surprise, good or bad, with his play. Manziel hasn't been a surprise, good or
I'm
bad,
not
with
apologizing.
His play either.
My picks will stand. No quarterback for there, because none of them were MVPs, in my view,
right,
so far. All right. We got to thank, real quick, Darius Eubanks. Thank you. Stay tuned for Julian Gerard. We thank Jason Gibbs, our great producer. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. You won't be there, but Michael Regei will be filling in tomorrow on Cleveland Browns Daily.
Driven by Liberty Ford. Here we go, Brownies. Here we go. OTA Awards.
The preceding program was a production of the Cleveland Browns and a part of the Browns Media Network.